Just turn to the person next to you and say, all righty then. That's my new phrase. Instead of hallelujah, I thought all righty then would be all right. Do you think the Lord might laugh? You think he has a sense of humor? Wouldn't it be good if you got to the gates? You get to the gates there, and you're a bit of a Jim Carrey fan. And there's Jesus, and you expect some big, you know, impressive, and he says, all righty then. We're glad to have you home, soldier. Yeah, it's good to be here. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're closing out, God willing, we're closing out a little series we're doing on living the God life. I called it Four Secrets, but I want you to forget that I called it Four Secrets because I found a fifth one. And that way I'll get... And of course, five is the divine number of secrets, right? And you know that. You Bible students, you know that. So that shouldn't come as a surprise to any of you. In fact, I'm surprised I didn't get some emails from people saying, Pastor, four, how can that be right? It should be five, surely. But, you know, next time, email me. And come on, we're looking at the God life. Actually, can I do this or not? I think I shan't. I think I'll stay with my notes. It's quite good for me to stay with my notes. And very good, Paul. Good, full marks so far today. And but let's have a look. I talked about this for 2 weeks before. This is the final week. And we may put it together in a little series. I'm really seeking God. I'm very fired up about this. I'm stirred in a good way about talking about this area of finance for us, because I think that the church needs a really healthy balance on that. There's some stuff in the prosperity field that goes so far out there. And it's caught some people with good intention. You know, they have a really good heart and they start to feel guilty if they're not giving. But then there are other situations that people just need practical help on financial matters. So we're going to do that. But in the meantime, I want to talk to you and finish this about living the God life. Now, let's put up this. You got these lovely thingos. This is where we started and we finished. Does anyone remember where we finished? Some of you should remember because I left us kind of hanging in the lurch 2 weeks ago. We finished on a map. Remember that? Remember the map of Paris? That's where we finished. Okay. So we're going to pick up, but I'm just going to give you an introduction because we've got a few visitors and it's good to rehash. One of the reasons that I'm going to take a couple of weeks, generally speaking, on a topic or something God puts in my heart generally is because I feel like it's got to be built into our lives. And it's one thing to hear a great sermon, a great message or whatever and be inspired and say, yeah, I got to do that and I got to do that. But sometimes, you know, I've been around long enough to know that there are some Christians that either in their notes or in their CDs or in their computers or in their head, they got these great massive list of fantastic things they must do. And this is the way to live this and this is. But that doesn't always translate into their daily lives. And sometimes they get frustrated because the kind of inspirational revelation truth that they're hearing is not quite as easy to walk out as you might have hoped. And we owe it, I owe it as a leader and a preacher and a leader of the people, an overseer of the people, to help you to walk that out. Are you with me? So you might remember a few weeks ago we talked about vision. Remember that? And I got Dave Gibbs out here to bowl. How many remember that? He was doing his very finest, Dave remembers. And if you don't know Dave, he's the guy with the Larry Green watch. There it is. And so that's how to identify him. And so we talked about vision, but the point is this. We're created and we were destined to live like God on this earth. That's the kind of seed thought behind that. You were made in the likeness and the image of God. That's what the Bible says. So God has a certain image, you know. Now, if you take a photograph, then you have a certain image on there. And if I were to take a photograph of a rhinoceros and say, that's Owen, that's an image of Owen, you'd all think there was something wrong with me or my camera. Are you with me? Because the image looks like it. If it looks like Owen, that's an image of Owen. See, and we're in the image of God. So we look like God. So if you're wondering what, because he does have, he's not just a cloud. He may just be about 6 foot tall. I don't know. But I know this, he'll have two eyes, one nose, one mouth, hands. We're made in his image and in his likeness. And then he made us to rule earth much like he rules heaven. There is a massive difference between people and every other creation. And one of the concerns I have, and I don't get really wound up about evolutionary and all those kind of, you know, that stuff. I've got some training in science, but I don't kind of get into it that much, to be honest. But one of the concerns I have is that one of the downsides of promoting evolutionary thinking is that it just makes us one of the animals. And that's absolutely not the truth. There is all these animals, and then there's us. We've got the Spirit of God in us. No other animals have. There is a massive... Now, it shouldn't surprise you that the DNA percentages are much the same, because we were all made out of dirt. Remember, God scraped dirt together and he made animals and he made us. So we're all made of the same stuff. So it's not a wonder the DNA is essentially the same. The difference is that God breathed inside of us. We have a conscience. We have self-awareness, which animals generally don't have. Very little part of it might be in your soul. And we have a desire for a purpose in life and worship. No other animals. All the lovely baboons and orangutans, and I like them. I have a fish tank. I have a dog. I had a rabbit. I had several rabbits. I feed the birds, except for the starlings, which are very irritating. Anyone seen the starlings? They come in summer. You put the food out, and 3 hours later, the food's gone. And all my dear little robins and blackbirds, they don't get any. I get a bit irritated at the starlings, and so I'm holding off feeding until they're gone. And we're back to it. But I love it. I love what God made. I think it's fantastic. And but I know this, that we were made to rule that. We were made to run that. See, I can feed birds or starve them. I can train dogs. I can have a dog or not a dog. But you don't find a dog anywhere choosing whether it's going to own a bird or not and train the bird or feed the bird. It doesn't happen. Even whales with bigger brains than us, they don't do that. You don't see them gathering together, you know, in the middle of the ocean, worshipping God, you know, writing psalms. They don't do that. Only us. I'm saying all that to say there's a massive difference. And we've got to see ourselves that way. So we've got a couple of verses here. One here. I have come that you would have abundant life. Over the top. So you've got to get your thinking right. You're living the way God would live. In his image. And then this is one of my favorites here. It's the New American Standard Version. As he is, so also are we in this world. Isn't that amazing? I want you to say this with me. Say, as he is, so also am I in this world. That's what you're supposed to be. God's representatives, living like God, walking like God, talking like God, thinking like God. God's representatives. And he wants that. He wants to rule. Rule's not a good word, but he wants to exert his influence of blessing through us. We're the gateway to the planet. God doesn't have influence on the planet unless it comes through people. Are you with me? So that's our basis. Let's go, and then we've got 5 points, and we're going to rehash these. Number one, your vision. We talked extensively about that. You can get CDs from the last couple of messages. This is part three, where we talked about how you see yourself and how you see God and how you see life. You can see life working for you, or you can see life working against you. And but the Bible says that God's at work within you to will and to do his good pleasure. He's on your side. He's for you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And that's how we should see life. So when you turn up and you've got an appointment at the doctor's and the car park's full and you're tempted to think, oh my God, where is God when I need him? I can't even get a car park. Just remember this. There are bigger issues in life than that one. So just be really big, drive round again, and just say it's all going to work out all right. Because it's the devil that'll try and catch you in little frustrations. I know that probably none of you have ever felt that, you know, but I have. Yeah. Number two, it's secrets. These are secrets to the God life, how you live this life. Because what we want to do is transform your life, transform every life that we can reach to live like God on the earth. And the second part of that, is the secret, is your spirit praying, or what people commonly call praying in tongues, but I don't really like that term. I think it's religious and it doesn't help people. But it's your spirit that prays. There's a gift, comes from God, separate to our salvation. Not my subject today, but we will talk about it sometime in the next couple of months at a deeper level. But that gift is powerful. And one of the reasons I know that, I must have prayed for literally hundreds, if not thousands of people over 25 years to receive that baptism in the Holy Spirit, that gift of praying in the Spirit. And this is what happens to about 95 out of every 100. Within about a minute or 2 minutes of them starting to speak in this other language, they all say, thoughts come to them, you're just making it up. Anyone ever felt that? Because the devil would love for you to think that you're making it up, because then if you're making it up and you have doubt about it, you're not sure about it, and you'll back off it rather than if you'll stay strong with it. The point is this, your spirit is praying. Your spirit is different to your head. Your spirit knows things your head doesn't know. There are things in the future that God knows. There are friends you need to meet. There are people you need to avoid. There are possible job changes. There are possible challenges. And your head doesn't know, but your spirit knows. And God designed it so that by His Spirit, He communicates that with your spirit. But for you to become aware of it, you've got to get your spirit praying. And so I would spend, on average, I guess, 30 to 45 minutes at least every day praying in the Spirit. And it takes me about 15 minutes or so just to get through the clutter and the noise of everything that's in your head. Are you with me? And all that to kind of make a connection where you feel like, hey, we're connecting here. And you start to have this sense that I'm actually praying out the will of God. And oftentimes when I'll pray in the Spirit for a while, revelation then will come about what I'm praying about. I know sometimes I'm praying about the kids or some situation that's coming up. And I didn't really, God highlights certain things. It's just like praying with your head where you consciously think, okay, I'm going for a job interview, or I'm going to step up in my service of God, or I'm going to, you know, whatever, I'm going to consider marrying this person, or I'm going to look at buying a home, or I'm going to make these changes, or, you know, and you would intelligently pray for them. Well, when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit intelligently prays for things, and God understands it, and the Bible says that you're actually talking secrets, divine secrets. And some of us have not got as far into this God life because there's a whole lot of secrets we need to pray out and we just haven't done it. You're going to have limited success as a Christian if the only kind of praying you ever do is with your head, because your head is not all of you. And everybody said, good preaching. All right, so that's just a quick rehash. Number three, making up your mind. I want you to turn to a verse in James chapter 1. This is so cool. Because I was thinking about this morning, you see, as I was preparing. And you can decide how you think. So there's a couple of other verses, but go to James 1. Because what the devil would love to do is try and keep you in two different mindsets. Are you with me? Hello. Yeah. Earth to church. Beep, 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 beep. You're there. Try and keep you in two different... Should I tithe? Shouldn't I tithe? Should I lift my hand up at this opportunity to respond to God, or shouldn't I? Should I make the decision about doing this and shouldn't I? Your future depends on your decisions. Some people think it's erroneous. Some people think, oh, well, if it's the will of God, it'll happen. What a load of rubbish. The will of God mostly doesn't happen at all. For most people, in most situations, there are horrible things going on in the world. They're not the will of God. The will of God happens when we make it happen. The will of God is a combined effort between God and us. And sometimes we just haven't built, and that's why I'm talking about this, we haven't built enough of this sense of God in me and that I'm God's representative, And there's a certain strength and confidence that goes with that. That's godly. That's right. But when we don't have that, we feel frail. We feel a little bit scared. We feel a bit like, well, you know, let's just, at least I'm faithful to Jesus, and at least I went to church and brought my tithe, and I'm at least, you know, trying to do best to love my spouse. That's all great. I don't have a problem with it. That's great. But I just believe that God's plan for you is much bigger than that. And he doesn't want you to struggle through. He wants you to reign in life, I think is what Romans 5:17 says. And the Amplifier says is to reign as a king in life. So you should have that attitude when you get up in the morning. I'm going to reign like a king over my life. I look up in the mirror, I say, King Paul, good morning. My wife says, Paul, I think you're bipolar. I say, Caroline, I think it's tripolar and they haven't found a solution yet. But it's that kind of spirit, you see. A devil would love you to feel like, oh, that's arrogant. No, if that's what God said about you, then that's not arrogant. But it is possible to look in the mirror and say, good morning, King Paul, and be arrogant. That is possible. But it's also possible to say it and not be arrogant. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Are you with me? And that's what the devil will love you to do. He'll love you to keep creating doubt so you don't make your mind up. Because power is where you make your mind up. Things change when you decide they're going to change. Things don't change when it's God's time, necessarily. Some things are in his hands, but many things are in your hands. And things will, and some of you will not see change. You're wanting to see change, and you're hoping and praying that something will happen, but the change will only happen when you put your foot down and say, now it changes. That's part of being like God. You make the decision and everything follows. And we have embraced sometimes a weak kind of Christianity that's too afraid to do that. So we sit back and we just say, well, God, if you want it to happen, it'll happen. And I'm sorry, but I'm not the kind of pastor that's just going to say, yeah, sure. I do understand, but it's not the best way to live. And you will miss some of the best that God has for your life unless you develop what the Bible is clearly talking about, which is that you're supposed to live as his representative. You can put your foot down. You can make your mind up. You set the standards. You know what you're going to get in your life? Whatever you settle for. People say, well, if God wants you to be prosperous, you know, he'll just make it happen. Not unless you decide. Well, if God wants you to have a happy marriage, you know, he'll just make it happen. Not unless you decide, he won't. And your decision making is the thing that forces the door open. Now have a look at this, because I just mentioned James 1. Look at this. And I just, it's right near the beginning. And James is a great book. And he says, I'm in the NIV here in verse 5 of James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Everyone say, ask God, who gives stingily and will find all your faults first. That's what most Christians think, you know. That's what most Christians think. They think he gives stingily. That's why they pray, like, oh, God, well, just not too much. Just give me just a tiny little bit of your... That's namby-pamby, unbiblical praying. Now, look at me in that tone of voice. I'm telling you the truth here. You see? He gives generously. Oh, Lord, I'd like some help. Sure. I've got legions of angels here just ready to help you. So, oh, I don't want that much help. Yeah, actually, some of you do want that much help. But he's ready to help, and he gives generously and without finding fault. Oh, well, God, you know, I want your help, but I'm so sorry that I did this, and I'm so sorry that I haven't prayed enough, and I'm so... And God's like, would you just shut up about the sorry? You say, Pastor, don't you believe in repentance? Yeah, I do. But you see, once God's forgiven you, you better forgive yourself. Some Christians are walking around with a weight of guilt on their life, and God got rid of the guilt 2,000 years ago. And he's looking at him saying, I love you, but if you just would get rid of the guilt, we could go somewhere here. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He won't stop loving you, and he won't stop, but he can't break through if you insist on holding on to guilt as your choice. Are you with me? So you got to let it go. He gives generously and without finding fault. So your default when you pray ought to be, well, he's giving generously and, you know, I know I've made a few mistakes, but Jesus has covered them. Hallelujah. Let's just go here, God. Are you with me? I'm messing with your theology a little bit. Good. If you want a cross-reference, you could go to the end of Hebrews chapter 4, where it talks about prayer, and it says that we come boldly to the throne to obtain grace. See what I'm saying? You come boldly. You don't come like this. Dear God. God's wondering, it's like, have you not got the revelation of what Jesus has done for you? We're past all that already. You with me? You sing about it on Sunday, but when you pray, you keep going back to a place that you aren't anymore. It's gone. It's over. Come boldly, boldly, unashamed, barefaced, strong, in your face, boldly to the throne to obtain. I came to get something. Yeah, well, Jesus, I just don't want to be a taker. Well, you're supposed to be a taker from him because he wants to give to you. Yes, but if he wants to give to me, then he'll just give to me. Not unless you switch on the receive mode. He won't. You control how much of God's blessing is on your life, not God. So open the gate. Come on, I'll take it. There's another verse I'm thinking of that says the same thing, where Jesus is talking about John the Baptist and the way life is, really, and what's happening in the kingdom. And he says, now up until John the Baptist, he said, but the kingdom of heaven allows, suffers, permits violence, and the violent take it by force. People that are violent, forceful in the realm of the spirits. You feel I'm being a little bit forceful now? See that? I'm not a pirate. And you're not upset at me, are you? Well, I hope not. See, you've got to, there's got to be a forcefulness in your spirit. Because the kingdom of heaven permits that, and the kingdom comes to those who grab it violently. Are you with me? Yeah, it's all right. That's God just jumping all over our kids who are jumping all over us, but it's okay. Thankfully, I'm more in a preaching mode than a teaching mode today. Otherwise, it could have been a bit difficult, but. So you've got to come and get, and then look, we've got to go because of, I want to get to these other things. But you're enjoying this, aren't you? Good. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously and without finding fault. So stop all the fault finding and just say, God, all the faults I have are already taken away by Jesus. So here we are, you and me, and you see me without fault. Everyone say, he sees me without fault. Now that's what he does. That's just a fact. The things will change when you see yourself without fault. That's when things change. So he sees you without fault, and he says, and then you should come, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The Greek there is duosuke. Yusuke, your thinking, psychology comes from there. Two minds. One version says to judge that, for the Greek there, to judge it from a different angle. A diverse. Well, yes, I know. You know, I was in that service on Sunday and Pastor Paul was telling me this and I just felt like it was right, that God was speaking to me. I should make a stand. But, you know, oh, I'm scared and I'm tired and I've thought this before, and Aunt Jemima, it never worked for her. And then next Sunday, yeah, but man, my God, I mean, it's in the scripture. I should be doing this. Yeah, but gee, you know, I go home and then the wife doesn't want to do it and the husband doesn't want to do it and work's so tough and there's not enough money. You're in two minds. You with me? You're thinking about it from two different perspectives. That's your problem. The Bible right there plainly warned you against that. It said, don't let that person think he's going to get anything. There are people, wonderful, beautiful people, that are Christian people, that have received Jesus, that are born again, that get diddly squat from God because they won't make up their minds. Are you with me? That's why you have to be very careful what you listen to. Of course, the old computer lingo, it's years ago now, but it was garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you feed yourself in is going to come out of your life. All I'm doing for the 35, 40 minutes we have, and it's pretty short, but then we send e-thoughts and we do everything we can to keep pumping you full of the right truth. But you know, 40 minutes, that will change and shake up some of your thinking in a good way. But if you go home and watch either, I watch movies and I watch the news and whatever, but I monitor it. I'm careful. I'm a musician from way back, but I don't listen to a lot of music anymore for the sake of the music. I put on certain things that create a certain atmosphere because I need to be in a certain atmosphere. Because I've got a job to do every day and I cannot afford, you know what I mean? It's a war. You've got a devil in this life. You've got to be careful what you listen to. So if you allow a lot of negative thinking, a lot of doubt-filled thinking, a lot of, well, we're not so sure about that, you're going to have to make up your mind about some things. And if you allow that during the week, then you'll just be double-minded. And you'll come to church, and this can go on for years. You'll come to church and you'll think, yeah, awesome, great preaching. But your life isn't really changing because during the week you're hearing all this other stuff and you keep tilting from one to the other. And everybody said, just nudge the person next to you and say, time to make up your mind. All right, come on, let's go. Remember our map. I've got 5 minutes or so to finish and I want to get through this today. Remember our map? Do you remember our map? The conclusion of the map was it didn't have that you are here thing, remember? And the conclusion is this, it's impossible. It's impossible to go anywhere until you know where you are. So if we're going to say we're going to go from where we are today to living this God-filled, abundant, like God life, you can't do it until you know where you are. Let's go to the next slide here. There's the map. You are here. And now I've got two final points and then we're done. Let's go. Next point. Point four, the secret to the God life is what I would call your real connections. The people you hang with, the people you open up to, the people you do life with will determine your life. No question about it. Wise, God-given connections and relationships will help you know where you are. They will also help you take you forward. And then we've got this great verse out of Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise people will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. See, there are Christian people. They're lovely. They love Jesus. They go home and they pray. But if their companions, if their mates, if the people they hang with are fools, they end up with a destroyed life. Have you ever seen Christians with a destroyed life? I have. Lots of them. Some of them in the gutter. Some of them taking their own lives. Some of them making really bad decisions. Some of them distraught. Some of them lives in a mess. And I have compassion and I care for people, but I'm a believer that you're far better to put a gate at the top of the mountain than an ambulance at the bottom of the mountain. We're trying to put a fence up here to avoid you being destroyed. And don't think it doesn't happen. You've got an enemy. The devil is far more serious about destroying you than he is the average Joe. And he is not a limited, he's not an unlimited force. He's not omnipresent. He selects whom he's going to attack. And he'll try and distract you and dissuade you. And the more strong you go for God, the more you can expect a little bit of that stuff. So don't be surprised when that happens. But just be careful who you walk with. Now, who you walk with is who you hang with. It's who you talk to. It's who you open up your life to. It's who you share your life with. And I'm a big believer, and we're working really hard, and you'll have picked this by if you've been around even for a few months. Carrie and I and the team are working really hard, and it's in our vision statement as well, just in that the importance of the sense of community, that we do life together, okay? So I'm the leader, I'm preaching and I'm doing all that, but we're raising up people. We have two connect groups. We have a youth group, first group. We have a Bible college. We'll be starting some more connect groups as soon as people are ready to run. We're ready to go, and that's all exciting. But the importance of that, you see, is that you need to build relationships. Church is not just turning up on Sunday, bringing your tithe, praying, singing, and saying good preaching. That's great, but that isn't all that church is. There's Monday to Saturday. And between Monday and Saturday, Some days you're going to have a bad day. And who are you going to phone then? Some days everything's going to go wrong. And probably, if you're from a traditional Christian mindset, you'll tend to not talk to your leader, or certainly not the pastor, because you don't want the pastor to know what a mess your life really is. But I've got news for you. I've lived through some really messy things. You see, and what we do is the devil tricks us, and so we keep all the most painful, real things to ourselves. But there's power in unity. You've got to walk. Now, you have to be wise. So let me say this. When it says walking with fools, people that resist God, that's a fool. People that are negative, all the time finding an excuse, finding a problem, blaming somebody, that's a fool. People that will not make adjustments, that will not change. People that are rude, they're fools. So choose who you're going to hang with. It's your choice. And the great thing, and what we're looking to build more and more, is a house full of people. And you're not all perfect, and I know that because I'm one of you, and I'm not. If you are perfect, by the way, this isn't the place for you. You've got to build relationships. You've got to build part of the connect groups this week. It's Hot House, doing stuff socially, and we are working very hard and proactively and deliberately at doing that, because sooner or later, stuff's going to go wrong. And as an overseer, as a pastor, I can generally see it coming. I can see things on people's lives, and I can see if they don't attend to that, something's going to go wrong there. And then I'll talk to whoever's pastorally responsible, and we've got a small team of guys that take care of people. And I will say, you need to get in touch with them. Half the time they've seen that anyway. And then they'll catch up and they'll say, hey, how's it going? And what we really want to do, we want to bless you. We want to buy you a cup of coffee. We want to see how you're doing. We want to celebrate with you. It's not all just about problems. But we want to help you to say, actually, it's just, I've been out of work for 3 months and I'm really depressed. And I don't want to live. My sex life is gone. You're married. You know, I have no sex drive anymore. My wife's getting frustrated and I just can't cope. Now, I've been in that situation, okay? I've been there. So I know what it's like. And I know how debilitating it is when there's no one to talk to. And I know how much difference it makes when you have people to talk to. But you have to talk to the right people. Okay, so we're trying to build a house full of not perfect people, but people whose spirit is the same. Are you with me? And then you have to just use wisdom. And what you can't do, you see, is come along. Or you can, but it's not the best, because I don't want really a professional counselling service. And I'm not I'm not the world's best counsellor. I'll sort out your problem in about 3 minutes. Then I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what to do. I'll give you 30 seconds to say yes, and that's it. And then if you want to see me next week, I'll say, sure, did you do what I said? And you'll say, well, and I'll say, do what I said, and then come back and see me. And that's it. That's my style. And it works very well for a very small percentage of the population. But you see, there are people that are gifted that way. But you've got it. The thing is, you've got to build relationship. You've got to start by hanging out together, having coffee together, and talking about life. Don't just say, I read this in the Bible. That's great. I mean, that's got to be part of it. But talk about your life with people. Hang out. And for us, as far as we're concerned, if we have 5, 10, 15 connect groups, it doesn't matter. It's just 5 or 6 people meeting at whenever suits them during the week with someone who's leading it that we're happy with, you know, that we feel like we know you and we're walking together. And you guys are connecting and you're hanging out. You can have coffee, you can have tea, you can have a beer if you want. You just can't get drunk. And even if you got drunk, which might just happen on occasion, I'm not going to kick you out of the church. We're just going to say, you know, better not to have too much alcohol. And, of course, all those people like leaders that are like, oh, get rid of these people who did this. You know, it's like they've never made a mistake. It's just weird. We all make them, folks. There's a big difference between having a bad day and having a perpetually godless lifestyle. If you have a perpetually godless lifestyle like they did in the Corinthians, and I'm out of time, Lachlan, I owe you a Starbucks now. I made a deal with Lachlan because I'm trying to run our church really tight. 12 o'clock, that's it. So I said to Lachlan, right, if I'm not finished, everything finished 12 o'clock, you can have whatever drink you want from Starbucks. Fully determined that I was going to win this little deal. But anyway, you get a drink. Okay, can you give me like 1 minute because we're nearly done here? Is that all right? Let's go to the last one. So real connections, building life. Learn to open up to people. Make time to be with people. And the last one, and this is a big one, is secrets of the God life, is perseverance with a right heart. Some things don't come except after a period of time. Joseph gets a dream. He's a kid. You're going to rule. And he goes through hell for years. Moses, you're called to deliver the people. And for 40 years, he's shepherding sheep in the back of nowhere and nobody knows him. Are you with me? Abraham, you're going to be the father of nations. And he's 100 years old when finally he has a baby. So listen, you've got to understand this, okay? The dream of God is for real. The plan of God is for real. The things we talked about this morning, the abundant life, the living in victory, the reigning in life, the having a full life, which means finances, relationships, your ministry, your calling, your purpose. These things are promises from God. And I am standing here saying I have run after those for 30-something years. And there's a whole lot of them I haven't got yet. And if you read Hebrews 11, you'll find that that's just part of the process. But what you've got to understand is that there's just a piece of you that you have to build called perseverance, where you just say, well, it didn't happen this week, it didn't happen this year, but it is going to happen. You with me? You've got to build that in you. Because the devil's one of his biggest weapons is discouragement. That's why these connect groups and hanging out is so important. Because you sit with someone else and you think, oh, you know, this is the 8th job I've gone through and I've failed. And then you'll find that someone failed at 15, but now they've got to. You'll just find that people have been there. And we isolate ourselves to our own detriment. Whereas if you'll just now look, guard above all things, guard your inner self. For so you live. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's the Moffat version. Guard your heart. Okay, stuff will come in that'll try and make your heart say things like this. It's just too hard. Just isn't going to happen. It's fine for everybody else, but it just doesn't work for me. Don't buy that. Guard your heart. Resist it. Oh, but it comes again. Resist it. Oh, but it comes again. Resist it. Listen, I've been doing this for 30-something years. I'm resisting every day, okay? I'm resisting. It doesn't, your mind doesn't stay renewed any more than your hair stays combed. And for people like Sophine, that's a big issue. For Ryan, it's not so much of a problem. For Owen, there's no problem at all. Amen. You see, but you've got it. It's a daily thing. And don't get into a grind. I mean, oh my God, it's a, no. Hang around people. Get a spirit of victory in you that says, yeah, we can. And we didn't do it this week, but we're going to do it, baby. Amen. And we're going to keep going. Do not throw away. Look at this. You wouldn't believe it's in the Bible. Do not throw away your confidence. I know Christians that throw it away all the time. Don't do that. Your confidence is so precious. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You have need of endurance, perseverance, so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Some people, listen to me, some people are a quarter of the way or a half the way or 7/8 of the way down the will of God, but they haven't got it all, but they're on the way there. And the devil would love for you just to give up. And you know what happens when you get up? You don't get it. And that's such a bummer. You want to get what you're here for. Are you with me? And you just don't quit. And we want to put our arms around you, support you, believe in you, because together we can build this great God life in one another and change and live great lives and change this world that we're in. Amen. Good message. Good idea. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. All right. If grace would come, just real quick, I'm going to take about 1 minute to do this. But close your eyes, would you do that for me? Because it's important that you have just a moment. In 1 minute, you're going to be having coffee and tea and chatting, and that's great. But just take a minute to let some of that stuff download. Some of you write notes. I think that's helpful. I'm a great note writer. Some of you might put it on a phone. But don't, there's been some thoughts, I'm sure, this morning in this thing that have come to you and you felt, that's me. For some of you, I'm just going to make up my mind. For some of you, it's, yeah, I do. I've isolated too much and I need to make a commitment. I need to make a decision. For some of you, it's like, yeah, I'm double-minded. I can't afford to do that. For some of you, it's I'm hanging around with people that are going nowhere. And I need to change it. For some, it's, you know, it feels weary, but I'm going to make it through. Let that download, let that revelation come. It's the Holy Spirit just speaking to your heart. And I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just, my prayer, the prayer of my heart and Carrie and our team is that every person we have the privilege to lead and to influence and to care for, that every person would grow every day and every week into the God kind of Christian you intended them to be. There's all different shapes and kinds. There are all gifts. They're not all loud. Some are artists. Some are very wealthy. Some are not particularly wealthy, but they have enough for every need. Some are brilliant with children. Some are just administrative geniuses. All kinds. Some are nurses. Some are helpers. Some have passion for this city like we wouldn't believe, like this town of Staines. But I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a download of life and strength so that we get up fresh. We look in the mirror tomorrow. We live this life at a new level. Help us to bring this message to as many of your people as we possibly can. And we ask that in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say yes. Everyone say, all righty then. Have a fantastic week. Please thank Carrie and Lou, would you do that? These guys, and Ian, who's helped enormously here. Chrissy, we just got a great team. You saw the ads. We do need to keep raising up people to help us out. So if you're available, please see these guys. And thank you so much for being with us. And we will see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.